You know, every once in a while, if you use the totality of the internet to answer your questions, you got the wrong answer. And in essence, that's one of the things I consider with ChatGPT is if you use the totality of the internet, there's a lot of stuff out there and it may or may not be correct and it may or may not fall within your processes.
Welcome to Centricity, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between sales and marketing. In today's episode, our host, Sean Doyle, meets with Harvey Nix to discuss the guide to strategic AI. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
Hello, welcome to Centricity, the podcast for emerging middle market business leaders who are looking for new ways to align sales, marketing, customer service, technology, all in pursuit of their revenue goals. Today, we have a really neat guy as a guest, Harvey Nix. Harvey was the CEO of a healthcare company when I met him, and he's this kind of thoughtful, brilliant guy. And what he did that was so amazing was he connected many, many points of data. And he made observations that ultimately would lead to saving lives, improving efficiency in the healthcare system. And I was his agency. Well, first I was his friend, then I was his agency, and I was a fractional CMO. What I learned working with Harvey was that his magic was sales. He's an incredible salesperson. And his ability to connect data points to make observations and aha moments applied to sales and marketing was revolutionary. He's helped many businesses and has done so many, many ways through his sales and marketing skill sets. One thing that makes him great at this was his application of process and application of technology to his insights. He is not a backslapping sales guy. He is going to be very strategic in everything he does. So recently, when he asked me, what is Fitzmartin doing with AI? Because everybody's talking about AI, ChatGPT, generative content, yada, yada, yada. I knew not to answer him. And I said, Harvey, why don't you just teach me? And he did. And in one meeting, he revolutionized the way I saw AI, artificial intelligence, and in boiled down format, what I heard, this is going to be the worst technology description in history, Harvey. What I heard was...
Come on, I'm counting on you.
What I heard was, hey, you can move from type something into ChatGPT, like write me a poem, and it scrapes the internet and comes back. You can add to that your business intelligence, your intellectual property, your thoughts, ask really good questions, learn this thing called prompt engineering, and the value of what AI can do goes through the roof. It moves from kind of cute and anecdotal stuff to strategic and really thoughtful stuff, just like he has used in his healthcare company, just like he used when he was helping other people as a CEO, as a SVP of sales. He's now seen the aha moments of AI. So today, Harvey, would you share with us, take us on a journey? This is going to be a little different podcast because we're going to have at the end of it a link to a landing page where you can get some of these tools that will help you introduce. And today is going to be very practical in that he's going to actually share some things about how to do things. And today, we don't normally do this, but you might want to watch this on a computer because it's going to have a screen full of information, not just two dashingly handsome, intelligent men talking.
Yeah.
Although I think, anyway, that's another argument for another people to make. Harvey, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks, you, Sean. It's fun to be here. I've always watched your or listened to your shows and been intrigued by the people you interview. So it's an honor to be here.
Harvey, you and I did a presentation to a group of CEOs, literally from all over the globe last week. And that gave me the idea of doing this. In it, there were some questions that were asked, and I'd love for you to give some insights first before we get to the visual part of this. There was concern first about intellectual property. Am I going to lose it? How can you help us understand what that risk is or is not?
Well, from my vantage point, there is intellectual property that needs to be unlocked from senior leaders and driven through their organization. But it's not deep secrets. It's not trademark. It's not trade secrets. It's more process oriented of things that should be done. And so you should be sharing things and not worrying about that. Now, there probably are some business trade secrets that you want to keep off there. And there are tools being developed in the AI. And it's just a massive undertaking to keep up with the speed at which tools are being developed. I think of the Apple apps and how that developed, and think of that on steroids now with what's being developed in AI tools, and not just text, but graphics and video and business intelligence stuff. But one of the ones that I'm watching fairly closely and watching for Fitzmartin to share with Sean is the advent of secure locations to store trade secret documents, things that you and your executive teams might want to use and secure, and use the power of AI for query. And when I mean query, I mean inquiry. Ask it to evaluate this business model and then continue to ask it questions that you probably ask in your mind, either to colleagues or others, but it's extremely time consuming and extremely thought provoking, and get its insights to prompt additional insights. And just like, you know, the aha moment for me was ChatGPT, the chat part, whether the AI, the chat is the key. It gives you things and then you start chatting with it to form your synopsis of what you're trying to do. And the closer you get to that, the closer you become to synthesize it into true business intelligence. So, you know, I am, for my purposes, it's mostly sales and marketing. So I'm not too worried about the intellectual property part, because we're trying to communicate with people all the time to compel them to do things. But I can tell you, it is at least a 10x factor of efficiency for me to work through that process that I would normally have done manually, to use one of the AI tools in order to do that.
We recently helped a company, well, not too recently, actually, because I would do it differently today, to your point. We helped a company evaluate probably a little bit over 80 different markets for strategic expansion to try to build out a little more stable third leg of the stool for their enterprise. Mm-hmm. And it took 2 to 3 months. I think with the use of this tool, and as you just said, what, you know, applying your thinking around business models, and you could mine other people's businesses. We could have mined the marketplaces and gained strategic understanding, I bet, within 30 days instead of 90 days.
And
gotten deeper knowledge and gotten to the thinking part more efficiently, sooner and faster.
Yeah,
so the opportunities are really rich, and it has nothing to do with writing a poem in ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Albeit, it's pretty cool to write poems in ChatGPT.
It is. And it's not about it taking over jobs. The reality was, I was going through the thought process that I've been developing over the last 30 years of business. And it was hard. It took me significant effort to develop these processes and what I was able to do. And the cool part is, I shared with you, I had an opportunity to do it in real time and time to do it. I was in between projects, but I was asked to come on and assist a company in the development of their sales and marketing effort for one of their projects. And so during that time, I knew what I was going to do, but ChatGPT had just come to the forefront for me. I'd been hearing about it, but I'm like, I'm going to use it. And I started using it through that process. I think it took what would normally take me 6 to 12 months to work through. I think I did it in less than 3 anyway. So at least half the time. But I probably am even less than that, because I think what I ended up with was much more than I would have ended up in the 6 to 9 month or 6 to 12 month process. So I think we're a lot further along. Mm. It's just hard to grasp that you're able to do that fast.
Whether you use a CRM, marketing automation, advertising platforms, or anything else, keeping track of your current marketing technology can be challenging. And if you need assistance sorting through your existing tech stack, Fitzmartin's MarTech Audit is here to help. Fitzmartin will audit your organization's currently utilized technology based on 7 categories, analyzing how your organization's tech components are used to see if you are allocating the proper funding to each criterion. The result? It delivers robust ROI savings through reduced tech fees, recommendations for future technology, and more time for your marketers to do their jobs. For more information, check out our show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
The beginnings of AI, actually, if you depends on who you read, you can root it back all the way to the 1800s with a French mathematician who created what we would call today an algorithm. And I think that's that journey through from the early 1800s. And I'm saying that intentionally, early 1800s, through to today, we're all acting like this is new. It's not new. It's just come to the top. It's come to be relevant. It's come to have popularity. And within that popularity, we need to understand the context. And for a sales and marketing leader, I think that context is important. In 2006, 2007, there was this confluence of iPhones, data from that type of phone, broadband occurred, really cheap storage happened, data storage, really cheap computing power happened. And all of that merged into the roots of what we're doing today. So even if you want to make the argument that it's ridiculous that a French mathematician started AI in the 1800s, okay, great. Understand that it's arguably at least 20 years old, and you're using it already when you talk to Siri. You're using it already when Grammarly is on your Microsoft Word document. You're using it already. And what do you think Grammarly's been doing? You've been building their AI database for them, and it's brilliant. So it's not a question of, are we going to use AI? Do we trust it? I'm hearing companies, in fact, in the seminar we did, Harvey, I'd say a third of the audience says IT had locked them down from using it. But I bet they didn't lock down Grammarly. I bet they didn't lock down the chat bots on their website. I bet they didn't lock down all the, I mean, you would never say, let's go back to spreadsheets and ledgers on paper, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's radical. Will you take us through the journey of what to do like you did with me? Will you take the listeners and viewers in this case through the journey of how to use this thing and some of the applications?
Yeah, just a general comment. I heard people that had their systems locked down from ChatGPT. And then I heard in the same breath that they were using their personal computers to do ChatGPT evaluation of, you know, marketing information and things that weren't sensitive for what I call, but to help them with their daily task and then putting that over into their work environment and leaving it there. So it's interesting. I have a little bit more background of AI as I worked for a company that developed an artificial intelligence tool to look through hospital data to identify where hospitals were actually causing infections within their patient population. Sounds a little scary, and it is, but the relationship between when patients got it and where they were and the service, you know, the people that saw them and, you know, the, you know, whether it was a they got temperatures or, you know, any type of a procedure, it ends up being billions of permutations. And we used an AI model to evaluate those to identify increases in those events in order to intervene more quickly. And the early AI models, you know, I think of the IBM Watson series and, you know, Jeopardy, you know, every once in a while, if you use the totality of the internet to answer your questions, you got the wrong answer. And in essence, that's one of the things I consider with ChatGPT is if you use the totality of the internet, there's a lot of stuff out there and it may or may not be correct and it may or may not fall within your processes. So while I've created kind of a simple example here, the reality is we need to put some guardrails on the data, i.e., you know, how I like to write emails or a process, a sequence of emails. Now, it's not what I would also encourage you to think of is expand your brain. I used one sequence of email writing for the last 25 years. Issue, opportunity, specific solution, evidence of credibility, call to action. Every significant email I wrote in that sequence because that's the sequence that buyers respond to. They need to know what the issue is. They need to know what the opportunity if I solve it. They need to know what the specific solution is. Not a general solution, but a very specific solution. What evidence of credibility can I bring to it? And what is the next step? do that every time. Now, if you, one of the first things I ask a salesperson or a sales group or whatever, how do you write an email? What do you use? Senior people. I don't know. I do it like this. Why do you do it like that? Always done it like that. I always thank them for their time and I thank them, you know, for whatever. But the reality is there are persuasive business models that people may or may not recognize they use. And the cool part about ChatGPT now is you can ask it that question. What are the top 10 persuasive writing models for persuasive writing models? And it will give them to you. And if you want 30 or 50, it will do it. You could put an email in that you wrote and ask it to write it, rewrite it in each one of those models. Now, that's the power. That's the stuff that I wouldn't have time to do or the brain power to do it or whatever. But now you can use ChatGPT to actually be a little bit more training and be more process oriented, because even if it writes an email for you, you could ask it, well, tell me why you wrote it that way. And it will tell you, I use this persuasive writing model and its format is this. And I'm like, that's just amazing. Those were some of the early things that I learned in producing content for this company that I was working for that just flat out blew me away. I learned more stuff. I had more ability to be creative and write stories with it, to create pictures, things that would have taken me weeks or months to. And, you know, my mind works is just, you know, it internal gyrations of, oh, I need to do this. But I could go through those iterations very quickly.
Listeners, fans of Centricity, and today watchers, I hope you got some value out of this. The excitement surrounding generative AI, I mean, GPT, Bard, Claude, Midjourney, all these content creating tools. There's a lot of people asking the questions and wondering, is it just tech hype or is this one of those opportunities that will change the game for my entity? And if it is the latter, if it is game changing, what is the specific value to your business? I would encourage you to think through this, try things. You saw Harvey several times. He's a highly skilled in this. And how many times today did you say, well, that's not what I wanted it to do? It's okay. Relax. It's not perfect. It's a tool. You know, sometimes I would guess Michelangelo chunked off a piece of rock occasionally that he didn't want to. And it's okay. Just keep working. Harvey, I know we can find you on LinkedIn. What I assume it's just Harvey Nix, N-I-X. Is that right?
I would assume, Sean.
You should check. In the meantime, we're going to send you to a landing page as well. Yeah. Harvey has prepared a few prompts that he's willing to hand out and give away. I've also got some articles, What Every CEO Should Know About Generative AI from McKinsey. We've got several tools just to help people figure things out.
Hey, Sean.
Yes.
One last thing.
Oh, okay. One more bonus.
Yeah. You know, goodbye. I was trying to show you how to, you know, talk in the prompts, and then I showed you how to copy the prompts. But we have created a prompt command worksheet, because you will start getting prompts. You need a way to store them, find them again. So as part of what is offered on Sean's website is this prompt command worksheet with a few prompts. You just have to keep them in an orderly fashion. That's probably one of the biggest challenges I have. So go there and get this and use this. You'll love this one.
Harvey, thank you for being on Centricity. You're amazing. No, you're a good friend and you're wicked smart. Love it. Thanks for being here.
Too kind. Thanks.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.